The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and you're with us this morning. We got a great show. Our County Supervisor, Matt Veach from Saratoga Springs. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
And not too bad. I just want to mention that you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. If you have a call that you'd like to address to Matt, it's 518-580-5783 here in the studio, and we welcome phone calls. So, Matt, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, but this is a crazy time of the year for you.
Yeah, a little busy.
Yeah, with your supervisor duties, your work duties, and your re-election duties. I don't know how you, plus all the other stuff.
I go to three jobs around September every 2 years.
Well, three jobs, but plus the multitude of programs that you do. And you got a great one we'll talk about at the end of the show, because you did that here.
Yes.
And it was very, very interesting. And I want to get you back for part two.
Yeah, we maybe, didn't even finish.
No, maybe sometime in December.
Sure,
because believe it or not, we're booked out to the end of November, and I never have that happen. So
that's
great. I can't
even
get some of the regulars that we have on. But being an election year, we're trying to give people a good break and let some information. But anyway.
Yeah.
You're running for what term now? What's the number?
This will be the seventh term supervisor.
Okay, so you've been in for 12 years already, and you're looking for your 13th and 14th year.
Yep.
And I have to say, over the time, you've been one of the better supervisors that Saratoga had.
Thanks.
I had a good friend, Phil Klein, who was a supervisor, and he was very good. But you've been in and you've gotten a lot accomplished at the county level, and along with not even the county level, but beyond.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't we talk a little bit about what you've done? I know we got some topics to get into.
Yeah, sure.
What you've done over the years.
First of all, I just wanted, you mentioned Phil Klein, who is one of my predecessors as county supervisor. I think he holds the title of the longest serving supervisor.
Really?
In our history, actually.
No kidding.
They did a book for the 150th anniversary of the city.
Right.
And in the back of the book, it has like all the elected officials
ever.
Sure,
and he's been in 150 years.
Might have felt like that to him when he was there. I don't know.
He doesn't look any younger than, any older than 60, you know.
But he did a great job as supervisor back in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. It was 18 years he was supervisor. So.
Wow. He did a lot of good, too. I mean, Phil's a great guy,
and
he's a mentor to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he's very, he's always been, he's always given me great advice, throughout the time I've been supervisor.
Yeah.
So, anytime you need to call him, he's available and
even for information, because I know I have coffee with him once in a while, and he loves to help people out and give advice and that. So.
And he's done a lot. I mean, he's just been, part of this community for a long time.
Now, do you know where he's from?
No.
He's from Gloversville.
Oh, really?
He's from my
just like you.
From my hometown. He grew up in Gloversville.
So to go back to myself, throughout my time, I think there's been a couple things that I've really focused on as supervisor at the county level, which is really to get them or to get the county board of supervisors to invest a little bit more in the open space and trails kind of concept.
Mm-hmm.
Saratoga Springs does a great job with all of that. But, a lot of times you have small towns in the county, they don't have a lot of resources. Saratoga Springs can also take advantage of it. It's kind of like an open, grant program where we, allow the towns and cities to apply for county funding toward those kinds of projects.
Yep.
We have great economic development in this county, but also, we should preserve some of the things that that make us a good county to begin with.
Almost,
which is
definitely,
you know, open space and also quality of life, you know, opening up to different kinds of things like trails. So those have really been a couple of things I've worked on in that realm. I've tried to get the county to become a little more technologically advanced over the years. That one, I guess I would say, had a lot of good successes in the beginning. We did an automatic time and attendance system down there, where we had done paper punch cards since probably the 1960s.
And you had a lot of employees.
We had employees employees that their job was just to adjust the time clocks, because they would go out of time, and you know, they were analog. So, you know, I'm like, well, how long does it take for you to, because we have this coming up when the hour changes for spring forward and fall back, how many employees do you use for that, and how long does it take? And, you know, we were spending like a day's plus work for one employee.
Sure.
And it doesn't seem like a lot, but you do that twice a year. And that employee should be doing other things toward their actual job.
And we're in the tech age.
Right.
I mean, you know, so you did a great job with that.
I would say that, you know, although my goals to try to permanently make technology, like a technology committee, and those didn't actually kind of, we did it for a while, but then they kind of didn't, you know, it all depends on who the chairman of the county board is and their goals. But that didn't kind of continue on. I think overall the mindset of the county changed, because they do think about technology now, and they do think about how do we do things more efficiently that way. So that was really another big thing that I had done some years ago. You know, really the other stuff is more along the lines of, you know, participating in community organizations here in the city. I've served in the Saratoga Springs History Museum Board, the Preservation Foundation Board, which I'm still on. Mm-hmm. I was the president for the last 2 years of that board. Gotten involved in the EOC board during my tenure.
You were a representative on the racing.
Yes.
The Racino and the racing.
Yeah, so I still do that. I'm on the NYRA local advisory board and the still the president of the Saratoga Casino Hotel Foundation, which those grants are going to be coming out later this month.
Mm-hmm.
We have about $30,000 in grants that we can give out, and we got requests for over $150,000 in grants from organizations. So,
well, when I was on the Community Development Block Grant Commission, that always used to happen. You used to have $300,000 to $400,000.
Yep.
It depended in the year. And you always had probably $500,000 or more in requests.
Yeah.
And you could only, and some of the requests were large and needed. But you really have – that's a tough thing.
Yeah, prioritizing.
Definitely. You know, I want to help everybody. But.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I mean, that I've chaired that for probably 7 or 8 years out of the 12 years I've been supervisor. And, you know, I mean, we've been able to give out, you know, over $100,000 plus in that time to organizations that really need it. I mean, it's you know, the whole goal of that was to try to help stem problem gambling. So – you know, it was created when the Racino was founded back in the early 2000s. And, you know, domestic violence, Wellspring, which are the same group now, you know, the homeless shelter, Center for the Family, Franklin Community Center, you can name the organizations, and they usually get the largest grants from that
every
year, which helps their mission of you know, solving some of the social problems we have.
Keeping them going because they depend on donations. And
absolutely.
We have so many nonprofits in Saratoga that do great work, it's hard to keep them offloading. So I shouldn't apply for a grant for the Rick Thompson Memorial Fund. Can't do it.
The Memorial Fund?
Well, you know.
You're still here.
It's like Seinfeld did the Human Fund, you know. I mean,
yeah, right.
Well, you know, talking about the homeless shelter, that'll bring us right into the topic that I'd like to talk about, is the Code Blue and homelessness in general.
Yeah.
Saratoga Springs seems to be – the more popular Saratoga becomes as a destination for people to live and to tourist here, it seems the homeless population grows.
Right.
So Code Blue and the homeless, what are your plans for that?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So I totally agree with you. I think that part of the reason we've been seeing that problem in the city occur over the past few years is exactly that, the rapid growth of our community becoming more affluent, mm-hmm. You know, the boom in tourism that we've had over the past 5 to 10 years. You know, I mean, I've seen it grow amazingly since I've been supervisor.
Right.
And really the initiation of the Cold Blue program in the first place, mm-hmm. in Saratoga Springs also has increased, I think, some of the homeless population that we have in our community. We also have what some people call the day trippers that come in the summer. So they
right.
just come up to try to, you know, panhandle tourists that are here in town as well. And they're not actually the homeless population that's permanently in this area.
Right.
They're from other areas.
And they probably make more money than you or I.
And I have heard those stories. I'm not sure if they're true, but it can be lucrative to come here to do that. So
well, people have good hearts.
So yeah, well, of course,
and
they want to help people out who are struggling. So and which is absolutely, you know, everybody likes wants
That's
to
human
do that,
nature.
Wants and likes to do that. So I would say that you know that's really the kind of the cause of the issue. But what I really wanted to talk a little bit more about was the fact that the Code Blue mandate for the wintertime is actually a county mandate, and
okay.
I think sometimes people forget. That's the case because the city really handles Code Blue.
Right.
And look, the county board and county administration has kind of let that occur in the sense that they would rather do the most appropriate program, which really should be in the city of Saratoga Springs. And
right.
so they kind of have said, well, city, Shelters of Saratoga, you guys
well,
kind of handle
definitely.
It. And then what we do is we actually fund it.
Okay.
So part of what happens is every year in our budget process, Shelters of Saratoga puts a budget together with our Department of Social Services, which is how it comes through the state.
Sure.
And then all of that money gets actually reimbursed back to Shelters. So Shelters gives a budget. We have that in our budget at the county level, and we actually vote on the funding for Code Blue from our level.
Sure.
So even though the city may put their own funding in if they want to, which they actually did at the last city council meeting, the bulk of the Code Blue funding comes through the county. And really, it is a county responsibility. So, you know, so we kind of stay on the side monitoring it to make sure that
right,
that
to make
goes.
Sure they're holding up to all the regulations
right.
and that. And
right.
you know what? That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
You should let the city handle because they have more of a clue what's going on in Saratoga than somebody down in Clifton
right.
Park.
Right. Well, that and the other part of it is if the county was to take it over as a county mandate, you know, I will say fear that the county would want to put the location, you know, somewhere inconvenient, maybe in the north or the south or someplace
right.
where it's not near the
central
population
center
of the county. So, you know, because they would do what would be most cost effective for them really
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day is what the county would look at it. I think as a supervisor who sits on the board. So
yeah. And
you know,
there's
not
basis
as much
for that. I mean, not maybe as glaring, but there's some basis for
right.
that. It's like when the federal government takes over a program. I mean, you know, now it's screwed up.
Yeah. It's done as a general,
right.
Done generally and not specifically for your particular location.
Right.
And so I think that it's good that we're doing it the way that we're doing it in that way. It's the way it's arranged. So, but, you know, I mean, I think my involvement in it, I've had more involvement in it this year than I've really had any other year because the city and the shelters were struggling for a location.
Sure.
You know, it was just published in the Times Union yesterday that a neighborhood group is announcing that they have a space over by the old Spa City Diner year. So I'm not 100% sure if that's exactly where it's going to go. I mean, it's
right.
a neighborhood group that's announcing that, but I think it's a good location. I've not seen the inside of it or anything like that,
right.
but
you
but
know, already you've got a hurdle that the neighborhood
right.
wants it. That's always been a sticker point.
Right.
I mean, we had a perfect spot over by the church, Presbyterian Church.
Yep.
They were willing to donate their part of the property with the building on it, but neighborhoods are funny.
Yeah.
And I mean, look at Shelters when they put that on and,
yep.
and neighbors are funny, but I think that's a major hurdle with the neighborhood announcing it.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I think that, you know, again, everybody, when it comes to local politics or issues that occur, all politics is local, and when it comes closest to your house, it becomes even more local, right? And
yeah.
so you get passionately involved in it at that point. You know, it's something we have to take care of in this community. It's mandated by the governor. And you know, again, I would prefer it to be in the city limits at a minimum. You know, we have a big city, so I mean, it's a very large land geographic area in this, sure, if it's in the city, and at a minimum. But I would say that should be where we put it. You know, and then the other part of it is really the permanent homelessness solution that we have to deal with in Saratoga Springs and Saratoga County. You know, just to take one step back, because you were talking about Clifton Park. You know, every single town in this county has homeless people.
Definitely.
You know, every town has a homeless population. I don't think my colleagues on the board are unaware of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the numbers are probably a lot smaller in some of the smaller towns. You know, they may have one or two people, but they would know who they are and mm-hmm. where to, you know, get to them to help them. In Saratoga, it becomes different where we have, you know, much larger population.
Right.
You know, we do censuses and things. I think Shelters goes out every year, I think, or maybe even twice a year, and they try to calculate how many people they have in the city that are homeless. And
sure.
You know, so it is a countywide problem in the sense that we have a homelessness issue in the county. It's more prevalent, I think, in the larger communities like Saratoga, and maybe the villages have that, because they're urban areas too.
Well, see, though, in Saratoga, as you had said in the beginning, you know, the larger you become, the more buildings you have, the more areas you have for homeless to populate. So you do draw more, and I can see that because it's, you know, like I say, there's so much here.
And parking garages are a place where that can occur. So, and we have to spend our time, you know, working on, you know, making sure that's all managed correctly. So, but I mean, at the end of the day, I think, you know, we do need to come up with some sort of a permanent solution to the issue, permanent location. So, you know, I think working with the city as a county supervisor, and I'm totally willing to work with whoever I need to get this solution done. I think the county has to play a role in the sense that, you know, we have the services that those folks need. So, you know, we have the Department of Social Services, and we have the mental health unit, and we have workforce and training and development. Those are all county services that kind of relate to that issue.
That cities and towns couldn't afford if they wanted to do it themselves.
Right. So. It would be hugely expensive for us to have, you know, well, we can't do social or mental health, but workforce training and development, I mean, you know, the Chamber of Commerce might take that over, and it would be a huge program that they'd have to do. So Saratoga County really takes that on.
Sure.
And so I think that the county should have some sort of, you know, service availability, I'll say it that way, at the new location, because wherever that happens to be and however it happens to get done. I mean, it's just a twinkle in our mind right now that we're going to have a permanent, you know, homelessness kind of resource building or place for people to go. So,
but that's important, because every year you have to worry about where are we going to house the homeless, and it becomes a big challenge, takes up most of the year.
Yeah.
And we've only got maybe a month and a half, or not even
well,
that.
Well, today was almost technically the first day that they should have done Code Blue, because it was 32, I think, this morning.
Oh, heavy frost on my windshield this morning.
So, I mean, this is about the time where that starts, and so... You know, I guess I'll say to go back to the very beginning, you know, I have a little bit of concern that it's so late that we're kind of announcing that we have a location. You know, I don't know that the spot that it is kind of in the back of the Spa City Diner. There's a building back there.
Right.
It used to be like a bottle return place or something like that. So, you know, what's the condition of the inside of the building? What is it? How long will it take to get it ready?
How much money will it take?
Yeah, how much money has to go into all that? You know, for Code Blue, I mean, you know, bathrooms are, you know, a requirement, you know, showers potentially,
heat,
you know, someplace for food. I mean, I don't know if any of that is in there. So I guess that's like a to be determined, stay tuned and figure out how we're going to, you know, get that all built up.
Yeah.
So by the time we really get to November 1st, which is 3 weeks away.
Right.
That it's really ready for it to be used. So,
sure.
You know, again, I'm nervous that we're going to have a night or two, maybe more, between now and then, where it's going to be below 32. So what do we do for that, those nights? I mean, last night was definitely cold.
Oh, yeah.
First, I just turned my heat on before I came over here this morning.
Yep.
So, and which is unfortunate. Not until December do we have to turn on our heat.
I know. Isn't it terrible?
I don't want to think about it.
My wife won't even turn ours on because it's still October. So,
but again, I think the vision I have, at least, and will be determined with other elected officials, but and service people and community as well, is that we have a building somewhere in the city. It has associated services that go along with it that these folks need, and that the county is playing that role. Within that, and it's, you know, I've broached that subject with the county administrator. He's not completely against it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, moving things around and adding services and places can be kind of, you know, it's cost.
And sure, so and challenges.
His number one goal is to get us, the cost, and so for me, I think that we should really, include the county, and I think he's willing to have that discussion as well with us. So I think that's a really good start from the county level.
Right.
When the administrator is on board.
He's on board.
It moves things forward.
Yeah, with the other communities.
Right.
One of the things that, as I said before, the neighborhood approval is amazing.
Yep.
Because in my development, it's been quite a while now, they wanted to bring a group home in.
Oh, yeah.
And both the neighbors were kicking and screaming, you know. And I have to tell you, there's not one person in that development now that is sorry that came in.
Right.
They are such great neighbors. I mean, you know, you have to give a chance. I mean,
yeah.
And I mean, if they wanted to do another one in, we wouldn't know. Seriously, we wouldn't
right.
have any problems like we did back, I don't know if it was the late 1990s or
yep.
what, but it's great. You know, it's not that bad.
Right.
Because of, I mean, you just can't have the homeless run amok wherever
right.
the building is. So there is some sort of protection
yep.
For the neighbors. I mean, but everybody gets paranoid. Not in my neighborhood.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
And look, I completely understand. I mean, I think that people, you know, again, it all gets local, and change is something people have. You know, it's a challenge. They know it's different, and,
mm-hmm.
and I think that, you know, and again with this group of individuals, it's even a little more challenging, right? I mean,
yeah.
they have other types of issues that, you know, really need some help, and you know, people, you know, don't want to have to in their lives. Then, you know, they want to help, but they also don't want to have to be always helping,
right?
You know, so.
And especially with the homeless, I mean, they need not all of them, but a lot of them. Need mental help.
Yep.
But they don't admit that they need it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I know one fella who's been all the time
yep.
For years and years, and he won't go in an apartment because his house burned down.
Yep.
And he escaped, I guess, just in time, so he's afraid to be confined.
Right.
So he doesn't mind being outside living on the streets. But I think, too, if he got some help, that, you know, who knows
right,
if that
right.
would change. But, see, there's all different stories. Each
yep.
one has a different story.
Yep. And look, the location as announced, I mean, in the paper, is actually not a bad location. The Saratoga County Mental Health Department is right across the street.
That's right.
And the Transitional Services group is actually kind of across the other street.
Yeah.
And so there's you know, services kind of right there. The ones that are missing are public Department of Social Services and public health potentially, and workforce and training, which is down in Balson Spa.
Right.
But, which again, now those are like, that's the big goal, is to have all those kind of co-located, not the whole department, but at least parts of the department, or have it be like certain days. I mean, I've thought about it, like, you know, how you know, mental health this year and this day. And I mean, even though there's always people there every day,
right.
you know, the services will come in, will kind of push in and then have to pull back out. But, you know,
yeah, well that,
it'll
that's
be like
good.
Kind of
I mean,
a mobile unit
yeah.
kind of that goes there.
And you know what day?
I yeah.
mean, yeah, and that's the way to do it.
Because I think there's also public health concerns, too, especially with the Code Blue situation where you have, you know, a lot of people in one location, they're outside, they're not always in the best of health, and, you know, we also don't want to have that problem where, you know, somebody has some, you know, disease or issue that kind of spreads throughout the whole
right.
community because they're all put together for, you know, a night. So, so again, I think that's where I stand. I mean, I do want to help as well, and I do want to be also, you know, again, just remind that the county does have some role here, and I think that we, as supervisors, both supervisors from the city, should be working with the city, should be working with Shelters of Saratoga, and I've been in many meetings over the last few months with both entities to, you know, help with the solution. It's a little different because I'm not, you know, in city council where the actual decisions get made, but at least from my side of things, I'm always here to help and available whenever needed for that, because it's really, I think, the one of the top two or three issues in the city right now that we have to kind of tackle, because it's become, you know, what it's become, you know, really, at the end of the day.
Just a personal opinion from me. I mean, you know, this is anything.
Sure.
Do you feel that supervisors should be on the common council?
I mean,
there's a thing about that because, you know, in your towns and that, your supervisor is the normally head of the town.
Yes.
And they have a lot more to say, especially in a voting procedure. And, and that's always been a little stickler when they've gone for change of government or anything.
Yep.
Just your opinion.
I mean, that one is one that I can say I have an opinion on.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think it could go both ways. I mean, I won't go straight down, but, you know, it's true that at the county level, the Saratoga Springs supervisors sometimes have, I'd say, a challenge because we're not part of our city government.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for example, when the town supervisor votes on something at the county, you're pretty much getting the town's
feedback from him,
from the board, really, and their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to us, it's less of, you know, and I've been asked that question by other supervisors. You know, how's your city? What does your city council think about that? You know, you have this opinion, but what's their opinion? You know, they want to know what the feeling of the city council is sometimes on things. And, you know, it would give, I think, a little more authority to the county supervisor if we were part of the city government.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, in that regard, you know, I'm going to tell you both sides.
Sure.
You know, in that regard, yeah, I mean, they should be part of the council because a supervisor would then have that kind of push. Like, I voted for it here at the city. I voted for it the same way at the county. You know, my opinion here is what it is, right?
Right.
And that gives a little more power to the city supervisor at the county level, or say influence. I shouldn't say power because we have the same power.
No, you should say influence, because by going to the county on the board of supervisors, you have a hands-on, as we said before, from the people.
Right.
I mean, if there is public hearing or a comment section that, you know, they're complaining about something that you're going to bring back or whatever, you've got that in your mind.
Right.
And I honestly think that you should be, because really your function now is to report what you're doing on a county level to the city.
Right.
Not from the city to the county level.
And we're required to be at all city council meetings already. So, I mean,
I know you are.
Per charter, we have to be there. So yeah, I mean, it almost can. And again, the last time it really was a issue at the city was the Morgan Street parcel, where Joanne, the mayor, recused, and the commissioner of accounts recused, and then you had the neighbors came in with that four vote. They had that petition where you have to do the four votes, and I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but they came in and said, "Well,
majority.
We want you to do this with a four vote majority." So then two commissioners recused themselves. There was left three commissioners that could vote, and then it became a moot point because they couldn't get four votes.
They couldn't get it right,
but because of the recusals. And then somebody in the audience was like, "How come Matt and Peter can't sit there and fill in?" You know, because we're elected officials in the city. I take an oath of office in the city. And they were like, nope, you can't do that. And so that was when that conversation, I think, started to kind of move up a little bit into the conversation. Now, I'll just play the other side.
Okay.
So the other side of it is if they're not part of the city council, as it is now, one of the things that I like about that is that I do have some flexibility in my opinion. So I don't necessarily have to agree with the city council on something, right? And I can tell you that example. I mean, probably 10 years ago, And it's actually coming up in Albany County right now, was the 4 a.m. bar closing time and 2 a.m. bar closing time.
Oh, yeah.
And so the city council had one opinion on that. I, as a supervisor, had a different opinion on that. And so I didn't have to necessarily take the council's resolution. I took it down to the county because they passed it. But I didn't necessarily have to say I'm in favor, you know, I'm
sure
do this because they're, you know, I mean, I came in and said, well, I don't really agree with this so much.
Right.
But here's the resolution and you guys do it. And, you know, then at that point, my colleagues didn't, the county didn't even go for it. They just basically put it on the table and said, that's we're not going to really act on it.
Right. Now that was to move it back 2 hours, right?
To move it to 2 a.m. And then there was like a 3 a.m. in the summer part of it or something too. But, so there's some luxury there in the sense that you don't necessarily always have to be beholden to the – I mean, even if I was on the council, I could say, well, I voted against it at the council.
Right.
I'm bringing it now to the county. But at that regard, I didn't even have to take the vote at the city.
Right.
And I just had – came in with my opinion about it, right?
Right.
So in some regard, that works. And you can also – you know, you can also tailor your, you know, your positions and what you want to do. When you're a county supervisor, it's not necessarily having to follow some sort of city programmed thing. I mean, the way it was proposed in the last charter before it wasn't even in there was that, you know, supervisors would not really have any responsibility at the city level.
Okay.
And it became that, you know, junior council member kind of thing. And so you didn't have a responsibility and you were just kind of there as an ad hoc member. And which again was, then it became two council members that weren't supervisors that were going to sit at the table and not have responsibility.
Yeah,
so it was kind of, it gets, when it gets into those parts of the conversation, it gets a little bit more fuzzy. And that's why it hasn't been done yet because the charters have been voted down, but at the end of the day, it hasn't been really even in the document.
Right.
In the committee is where it kind of fails.
But, in a way, I can see that, your point against it, because sometimes you may have to make a decision that's good for the county but not for the city.
and that was part of the argument, too, when it didn't make it last time, is that they were like, well, you know, they're county supervisors and, you know, they vote on a county level. So, but, again, I'll go back to your original argument. So, yes, that's true. But every other supervisor in every other town has to do that too,
right?
And they are in their town government. So
I know,
you know, take it either way, right?
Yeah, it's good to have an opinion and good to see both sides of
right,
it.
Right, because it's like you, and again, I've talked to some of my colleagues that, you know, they do kind of have to play both hats. I mean, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's a struggle for them, is that they have to. You know, the town of Wilton doesn't necessarily agree with this thing at the county, but, you know, he's going to go for it because his colleagues from the other towns really need it.
Right.
Right. I mean, we have that kind of problem with sales tax distribution. Anytime we have funding that has to come through that everybody gets a piece of at the county, those kinds of things start to happen. Right. So does Clifton Park kind of bite the bullet because they're the biggest town in the county that's going to get the most money in this distribution and give some to Day?
Right.
Right. Because Day is the smallest town in the county and they really have no power. So they can't.
Right.
They can't get it done for themselves. They need that. They need
they
the
need
big
support.
Town to give it to them. Right. And so that happens a lot at the town, because if you're strictly for your parochial community, Clifton Park's always going to say no to the town of Day, because Clifton Park just should get more,
right?
Because
they're larger.
I'm the town
and
supervisor, and we should get more because that's I fight for my town. But so it gets that example you gave is interesting because it does kind of create those conversations at the county about who gets what and how who's going to go where and again, internally those discussions happen all the time where one town's saying, I'm not getting what I want, and pounding the table, and the big town's going, well, I give you all this already. You know,
well, too, if you have the power and you go down and we use power in means of you have authority from the city to make, you may have to make like I said, a decision that against Saratoga because it benefits the county, and that's your role. But the people in Saratoga are going to remember and say,
right.
Boy, he really left us high and dry.
Right.
When really you're looking, your job is to look out for the county too.
Right.
So it's
a challenge there because you, you know, I know I famously, for another former supervisor, Skip Scirocco, said that one time in paper. And that was used in a campaign, you know, when people were running against him because
right.
he had said something about helping out, you know, other towns as much as Sarah, and he named a few towns. And so, you know, when he said that,
yeah.
you know, people were like, oh, wait, he's kind of right, but he's also, you know, you got to be careful because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm elected by the people of Saratoga.
Right.
And I got to do what's best for the city first. And
right.
so, you know, that has to be always considered anytime you take a vote down at the county. But you're right. It gets kind of fuzzy when you
yeah,
get down there about who gets the benefit. But, you know, we got out of that sales tax formula. So when they have those fights, I just kind of sit back and watch them.
Yeah, let it go.
Argue about it. They go, hey, we're going to take our $13 million that we made this year and, you know, use it for the city.
Yeah, really.
I have no skin in the game, guys.
No,
you guys fight it out.
That's right. Hey, we have to take a public service break, and we'll be right back with more from Matt Veach, who's our county supervisor, represents Saratoga Springs, one of them. We have two in the county. And also, historian, board member, well-known all around Saratoga, and a great guy. So we'll be right back.
Here's farmer and businessman James Wood.
We farm about 3,500 acres. There's pipelines everywhere. The contractor working on my property did not have the lines located before he began work, and it resulted on a strike on a natural gas pipeline. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it could have been much worse.
Never assume the location or depth of underground lines. Always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com before you start work. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
You might not know everyone in your community, but if you did, you'd see that people in recovery from mental and substance use disorders are all around. Reach out for support and begin your recovery journey. Join the Voices for Recovery. Strengthen families and communities.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referrals for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Building relationships during recovery from mental illness.
All right, we're back, and I'm your host, Rick Thompson. You're listening to Talk Saratoga on WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. Our phone number is 518-580-5783. And we're back with Matt Veach, our representative from the city to the County Board of Supervisors, or I should say a Saratoga Springs County Supervisor. Matt, I want to get an update on the county buildings and grounds.
Yep. Yeah, so I chair the County Buildings and Grounds Committee this year, so a little more county focused based on our earlier
right.
discussion. I'm pushing. This is a committee that's completely county focused, and it deals with all of our county facilities that we have, and it's actually a very large operation. You know, the county has all the buildings in Balsan Spa, the main county complex, as well as the services building, which is down the road on High Street in Balsan Spa. We have a veteran service agency, which is on Route 50. We have the Woodlawn Avenue building in Saratoga Springs and various other small county facilities around
right.
the county.
And not only that, you lease spots out, like in the Wilton Mall, you
yes.
have DMV. In
yes.
Clifton Park, you have DMV. So
yep.
throughout the county, you have to...
Oh, yeah. We have all kinds of stuff. So that committee basically deals with all of that. And, things as small as, sidewalk, fixing sidewalks to roof replacements to
sure.
The county airport, which is another huge county facility that we have. So at the county, we have a much larger you know, footprint. So we need to have a committee that basically deals with all that. So really, there's only two updates to give on that committee. So the first one, which is really more of an announcement, and I'll give a little background, is we're going to be reopening the Saratoga County Law Library next week.
Really?
On October 9th.
Okay.
At 3 o'clock. So it's an open, kind of an open house. So I'm announcing that. So if you recall, the Saratoga County Law Library used to be on the third floor of City Hall.
Yes.
And actually, one of the most, the best area of City Hall. I mean, you know, that the big wagon wheel window on the side? That's
yeah.
where that was. If
right.
you're in the law library, you had this huge, like, cool wagon wheel window that you could look out.
That's
the
neat.
Saratoga. So it was like an area that wasn't really used by the city.
Right.
why they picked that area, I don't know, but it was like a really... a very pretty area that,
sure.
that was in City Hall, one of the coolest like rooms in City Hall. So with all these stacks of books that were along the edge.
Yeah.
So so really last year the city wanted to pay a lease on that for the let me go back to that. The county paid the city a lease for that space.
Okay.
And the city wanted to discontinue that because they needed the space. That
okay.
City Hall is bursting at the seams and thankfully and not thankfully, we had a lightning strike, which is going to rearrange City Hall so that we have the space now.
Sure.
And they're going to take that law library space. So so that nice, pretty area in that one corner, people are going to be able to get into. So so we had to relocate the law library. So we decided to move it down to the county, which made sense. And mm-hmm. it's going to be in the court building. So it's going to be near all the rest of the legal areas. And we're shrinking the footprint. So it was about 2,000 or so square feet. We're shrinking it down to like 1,100 or 1,200. So a lot of those books that we had are going to the online format. So we're going to have – you can still find the
information
what you need, but
yeah.
you have to go now to a computer, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Technology. And really the county buildings and grounds team repurposed like a lobby area of the court building and made it into law library. So so that's why buildings and grounds was involved. We actually did that all in-house. We didn't use any contractors or contracts for that. Architects and everybody, we did the whole thing in-house. So
mm-hmm.
so I'm kind of very pleased that our crew did that.
Yeah.
And we're ready to open. So they had to store all the library books in the Lincoln bathhouse, which is where the courts is.
Sure.
The state courts is.
Okay.
Then they had to move all the books down to the county. So that's why it took a little longer than we thought. It was kind of really ready in like late spring, early summer, but it took a while for the court people to move everything down to
sure.
their thing. So yeah, it's kind of a unique arrangement. Like it's run by the New York courts, but the county has a role in the building and the property and
right.
you know where
right.
it's located and maintain the facility. And so it's kind of like a relationship we have with the court system.
Yeah, and the county seat is in Balsan Spa.
Yep,
we
yep.
have to remember that Balsan Spa is the county seat for
yep.
Saratoga County.
Yep, and by law we have to have a law library for Saratoga County.
Right,
and actually, just in one of my many. Other roles is I do serve on the Saratoga County Law Library Board of Trustees. So, as well as Buildings and Grounds Chairman, I'm also on the Library Board. So,
okay.
We meet once a year and we just kind of talk about usage and how available we should be. But again, law libraries are open to the public. They are not just for lawyers. And so if you have any legal question or have to research anything legally, you know, you're in some kind of a jam and you need to look at law, or even if
yeah.
you just want to look at it, you can go down to the law library and go in and use the facility.
I always thought it was for attorneys.
Yeah.
And
mainly attorneys use it.
Yeah,
judges,
but it's open to the public.
Yes, it's
very interesting.
It's a public resource. And, you know, I know a couple people who are regular users of the law library, but there's only a few. And you know, we talked a little bit in our last meeting about whether or not how we can advertise that better, because one of the problems with the law library or the questions that was asked when the city wanted to get rid of it was like,
right.
well, nobody goes up there. How many? And then we're hearing from the law library clerk that there's all kinds of people going up there. So it was kind of like nobody knew what was going on. So we're not really doing a good job of communicating usage.
Put a sign in the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Exactly.
Everybody has to go through there one time in their
right?
life. So that's probably where you'd get the most people.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, of course, is our public safety building, which is being built in the town of Milton. And they're going to be moving the sheriff's department in there, our 911 dispatchers, probation department will be in there, and the emergency services, as well as the public health department is moving down there. So the Woodlawn Avenue building in Saratoga is going to be emptied probably sometime in spring of next year when the other building opens.
Right.
And so that will become an available spot in the city of Saratoga Springs, actually, yeah. Right in downtown.
That, I remember DMV being downtown.
Yep, that was used there for a while. DMV was in there. I think I got my picture taken in there once for my license.
Yeah,
back when I was in college.
We used to go in there for flu shots too. I mean, they had that office in there too, where the county nurse.
Yeah, that's the public health department.
Yeah, public
so they're still
health,
there.
Okay.
We found that, and this has been a kind of a challenge for the county. I think is that we found that a lot of people now use like the Walgreens and
their pharmacies.
Right, so they go to like their local pharmacy or even doctor's offices and things that are giving out free flu shots or cost you minimal.
Right.
And so the county health department isn't getting used as much for that kind of thing. You know, TB vaccinations, things like those they're still using those for those.
Okay.
But using it for those. But it's really, we've gone to almost like in a call for an appointment kind of, because we just don't have the foot traffic coming in like every day. So, but, you know, again, as a supervisor, I want to make sure the services are available. So, so we push back on that. And again, I'm not really a huge fan of that department moving to Milton, because it really should be in the city of Saratoga Springs or someplace where you have the population that needs the service. The county farm in Milton is located next to the jail or the animal shelter. It's like a big,
it's kind of out
in the middle of, you know, a town, and it's not really easy to get to.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I didn't really, I wasn't, you know, when they had the vote for moving it to Milton, I didn't vote for it. Me and Peter Martin, who were the two supervisors at the time, we were the only ones that voted against it. So, you know, again, there's the kind of that rub against city and town.
Sure.
Because for the towns and the county, it's going to be cheaper. It's going to be more efficient. We're going to be in one place. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be brand new offices. There's going to be more space. You know, Woodlawn's a very old building, and, you know, the county has to maintain that. It's not going to have to do that anymore.
Right.
It's for the county, it's good. It's good
a
move,
huge benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
But for the city, it doesn't really work because we're now taking services out of the city that people do use. And moving them somewhere where, you know, usage is even going to be lower. I mean, we're having struggling with usage, and it's now even going to be lower.
So. Well, like you said before, people don't like change.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's sometimes it's to the benefit of them. But
there's
no main bus line
that goes through there. So if you do need to get there by bus, you can't. It's not the ideal location. But, again, at the end of the day, I am happy that our building is moving forward on that note. And that, you know, we're on our way to probably a March or April opening of that, getting the sheriff's department in there and everything. And
neat.
We really needed that, I think. And, you know, I was always supportive of it. We just couldn't do it. It was supposed to be done like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But we just couldn't do it because of the economic downturn. County was struggling for some funds. We didn't really have the ability. So now we're doing it. So.
And you were operating the nursing home, the county nursing home.
That
was a losing deal. But yeah, you know, you're talking about City Hall in Saratoga. You know, I really think that should be turned into a museum.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Gloversville did that. I mean, Gloversville has a new City Hall. My father was on the council back in the early 80s. It's two blocks off of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's one building with the police department and City Hall. They have garages that the police cars can be parked in, so in the wintertime they don't have to brush their cars off. There's a parking lot, and then right next to the parking lot they built a new fire station.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, I mean, they had a city hall, believe it or not, exactly like Saratoga. I think the same, and if you go down to Gloversville and walk the main street, obviously it's not as populated, and the buildings are run down a little, although they're trying to fix them over. You would think you're in Saratoga, all the Victorian buildings together. You know, I mean, it really is. Matter of fact, they had some company come in because a developer redid one of the buildings, and they're bringing in 100 jobs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a new business. So maybe that'll kind of catch on, you know.
Yeah.
But
well, and I think that overall urban we're moving kind of back to the cities a little bit, you know, and Saratoga was kind of ahead of the game, so now it's just accelerating here.
Sure.
But in other places, it, you know, I think I see that happening. I mean, even it doesn't have to be a city, it could be a village. I mean, if you look at Ballston Spa, you look at some of the – Schuylerville has made some great strides over the last few years. And so that kind of that reinvestment in the urban areas of this of our – I'll say our state, maybe our country, our county at least it's starting to happen, and I think that's good. I mean, you know, I serve president of the Preservation Foundation. I would love to see those older Victorian areas preserved. I mean,
right.
It makes sense to do that. I mean, it's good infrastructure. It is efficient in the sense that, you know, you're not, you know, having to put a lot of utilities, like stretch them out all throughout
sure.
the entire, you know, area. It's all there already. Services, utilities, infrastructure, it's all there. You don't have to really invest too much in that. So aging infrastructure, and we could maybe have a conversation about that at some point. But you know, you have all that stuff there. And again, the architecture is beautiful, so why would we want to tear down something that's, like, attractive looking?
Yeah.
you know? So, you know, I don't know about the museum and City Hall. I guess I can understand that. But, I mean, with it being renovated, it's not going to go away.
Yeah, no, it's
soon.
Not going to go away. I mean, for years I've been saying that because there's so much wasted space in the building with the ceilings being so high.
Yeah.
It must be a cost to heat the thing. And back then when I was thinking of it, the building was, not conducive to serving.
And I think that with the renovations, it's going to all get upgrades. All that stuff's getting upgraded.
Sure.
All the HVAC is going to have a, you know, state-of-the-art, you know, internet system through it, you know, fiber optics and all that going to go in there. You know, all the asbestos is coming out, which is good for everybody.
Oh, most definitely.
And, you know, so, I mean, again, I think it was a bad situation having it be struck by lightning, but good in the sense that really the building is going to get a complete upgrade.
Right.
And we got a tour as the Preservation Foundation back in the wintertime, February,
okay.
March. And we got to see all the, you know, kind of where they were going to do different things. And we had some opinions. I mean, they, you know, one of the earlier plans was going to remove one of the big staircases in the entrance. And we, you know, kind of weren't happy with that. They, you know, they want to put an elevator there because they need an elevator.
Sure.
And, you know, it was going to so they moved the elevator, so now the staircase will remain. So,
oh, that's a beautiful staircase.
Yeah, I mean, it's the double staircase when you walk in.
And
really,
the ornate, I mean, the handles are beautiful wood and, and that. Yeah, and I can see.
Yeah, kind of like 1920s era, those handles, because they have those, the stainless steel on them.
Yes.
Is like, comes out of like that Art Deco kind of style.
Okay.
And really, the inside of City Hall was mostly Art Deco, except for way back in the building department in the mayor's office are Victorian still.
Okay.
And I joked about that when we saw that, and we said, yep, some commissioner didn't want to update the Art Deco way back in the day. His office was the Victorian office, and they left it.
And he left
so
it.
There's like all this Art Deco in City Hall in this one area.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's some commissioner who had an issue.
Find that commissioner.
didn't want to update his office.
Let's talk about this is the time of the year that cities and counties are grappling with their budget process. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And it's somewhat related to the buildings and grounds discussion. So we're just in the very initial stages of the county budget. You know, we have about a $300 million budget. So it's a, you know, pretty large undertaking every year to do the budget. Many of the departments have already submitted their budget requests. We got a pretty large request for new positions at the county. I think that's going to be an ongoing thing throughout going forward because the county is growing, and I think we're struggling to keep up at the county government level. You know, more people you have, the more services you need. And, you know, that's a good thing, good problem to have. It's a difficult problem to have because, you know, there's costs then once you do that. So so a lot of departments, I think, at the county are starting to kind of strain under the weight of service they're providing because we haven't really spent a lot of time in the personnel side at Saratoga County. And for good reason. I mean, it's not cheap to hire an employee. I mean, you have to pay their salary, and then their benefits are half as much again what you pay them.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's a cost there. And again, not that people are cost, but at the end of the day, you know, we have to be very prudent about how we do that before it kind of balloons into a big, huge part of our budget becomes personnel costs.
Right? Well, that and
I mean, we spend $60 million on person, $65 million on personnel.
Yeah.
So,
Well, you know, then again, if the costs get out of control, that's the taxpayers of the county that have to foot the bill,
right?
Because you can only get so much money,
right,
in grants.
And not even to go down the tax cap route, but, you know, we don't have the ability to raise as much revenue anymore because we,
right,
have a permanent state tax cap. And not that I'm against that, but at the end of the day, we're now limited just in fact about what we can raise every year. And so it becomes more difficult to hire. So, you know, tax cap doesn't really work for growing counties, but at the end of the day, we don't have a choice.
I know. No,
but it you know, so we're starting to work on that. I'm on the personnel committee, so we're starting to work on that. And then we did our capital program, which is part of buildings and grounds. We're one of the three parts of that committee. And, we got about $7 million in county costs and capital for next year on roads, bridges, airport, buildings, buying new trucks, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
With actually a total cost of about $20 million, but most of that is federally and state grants that come,
okay,
back to us, like CHIPS funding. And,
right.
The airport gets like 90%, I think, of its improvements paid for by the FAA.
Well,
so
that's good.
You know, we,
yeah,
get to – the federal government pays a lot of the airport improvements that we do. So well, again, stay tuned. We're in a good place. Again, Code Blue funding is part of our budget, and I've gotten some requests from residents about, you know, making sure they get fully funded, and I'm totally on board with that. We'll,
sure,
you know, whatever that number is that they agree on that should be in the budget, I'm going to approve all of it. So
okay,
that's not
excellent.
A problem.
How many supervisors are there in Saratoga County?
23
in Saratoga County, and
yeah,
that's a big yeah, board. And
so 19 towns, two cities. So that means 21, and then Town of Clifton Park has two supervisors. City of Saratoga Springs have two supervisors, so that makes 23.
You know, it's always a surprise to people when you say you only have two cities in,
yeah,
Saratoga County.
Yeah, I know, right?
But yeah, I mean, it's...
we have nine villages, so it doesn't feel like we have two cities.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's like with Montgomery County, there's only one city,
right,
in Montgomery County, and you say, holy mick, because that's all spread out, but it's a lot of farms. And,
yep. Well, and I'm on the State Association of Counties, and I serve on the Public Safety Committee with Sheriff York from Yates County.
Okay.
And I said to him, do you have any cities in your county? He says, no.
Uh-huh.
We have one village. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, really?
There's, like, you know, it's that county might have 60,000 people. It's very small. So.
Yeah. Well, it's like Clifton Park. That could be a separate in its own.
Yep.
You know, I always say this to people that the Northway made a huge difference in populating our areas,
oh, yeah,
from Albany up. I mean,
it still does.
It still does. I mean, it's amazing. Well, look, we have 2 minutes left,
yep,
believe it or not. We always
I know,
do.
It flies right through.
We wanted to talk about NYRA, but I want you to plug your talk,
yep,
next Thursday, because you did it here, and it's amazing.
So I am going to be at the Saratoga Springs Public Library on Thursday, October 10th, from 12 to 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So it's what they call the brown bag lunch series, and I'm going to be doing my urban renewal presentation. So if you did tune into this program and heard the talk, come to that and see the pictures.
Right. Well, you know what? They can always go to SaratogaBroadcasting.com, go,
yep,
to Talk Saratoga's podcast page, and they can hear that show.
Yep.
And,
yep. And so it's really interesting, and it's photos that have rarely been seen by people. They come out of the city historian's archive, which God bless Marion Fitzgerald. She's amazing, and she just let me kind of do whatever I needed to do in there, and I scanned a whole bunch of pictures, and so I've got the whole collection basically.
Oh, that's
at home,
great.
And it's wonderful. I mean, and the History Museum too. They kind of started the ball way back when I was interested in the topic.
Sure.
They gave me a whole lot of photographs too. So there's some, you know, aerial shots of the city from the 1960s. I've got one that's just really, I think, the coolest picture of Saratoga. And then it doesn't even look like Saratoga. And,
really?
You know, you can recognize some parts of it, but there's, you know, the whole area has been torn down now, so,
sure,
it just doesn't even look like that anymore. And you know that, you know, I post a few things on Facebook here and there.
Well, I was going to say it. You post a lot of great things on Facebook to get people a sense of history of,
right,
Saratoga.
Right.
And I know you do a great job of it.
that last one sparked a lot of conversation with a High Rock with no parking lot and no farmer's market and just the Muzan house. And
that's
like
one,
that's all that was there for a few years.
For years,
right?
Yeah.
You know, until they built the parking lot. So, you know, but even then, you know, with the parking garage coming, I thought that was an interesting shot.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, there was like once a time when there was literally nothing from Lake Avenue all the way to the mill.
Right.
And it was just the Muzan house sitting there on the property, and then the High Rock Spring,
right?
You know, because that's been there.
Because that's
But it's just like, you know, yeah. There was once a time where we had none of that there, and what are we now? 38 years later, 35 years later, and it's the whole entire thing is transformed into a different
community. My gosh, a different beast. Yeah. Well, I think if somebody lived here in the 50s or 60s and came back now,
they would
probably pass out. Yeah, they wouldn't recognize the city. Well, Matt, look.
Although it was much more dense in the 1960s, so they'll see open spaces where they had buildings.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll show that in a presentation.
Right. And I want you to do a podcast so that we can get some of the topics we didn't touch today, and then I can play them on a short show that we'll have.
Okay.
You know, I can play a section every time until you're back with us after the first of the year.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
I want to thank everybody for being with us today. Next Saturday, we have Tim Holmes, who is running for mayor of Saratoga, and he's an interesting person, so stay tuned for that, and we'll see you next Saturday.
He has great knowledge.
He does.
Himself.
yeah. Well, he's a good guy, and we'll talk to him next week. So we're going to put John and a Polka Magic show on right now, so thanks for being with us.